There are many spiritual needs that each one of us could name. Many needs represented in the congregation. Valid, genuine, sincere, spiritual needs. But today, I want to preach about what our greatest need is. Because all of us as Christians have the same need. Now, you have your own personal needs. I have mine. But I'm declaring this morning that there is one thing that all of us need. And that's found in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 15 and 16. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The need that every one of us has is for holiness. Now, for many Christians, if they have not had teaching or sat under preaching that emphasized holiness, stressed holiness, instructed about holiness, they're not really sure what holiness is. Well, of course, it's a good thing. And it's something, just very fact, you know, the verse we read tells us that we ought to be holy. But how do we go about being holy? It's in Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. In verse 44, that we read about this matter, the scripture says, and Peter says, as God has said, be ye holy. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44, for I am, God is talking to the Israelites, for I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Now sanctify, again, it's one of those words and subjects that has a lot of unknowns to it. But, sanctify, another S word that can help you is to separate. When the Jews had to sanctify objects for in the tabernacle, what they had to do was take that object and set it aside for God's use. Yes, sir. Now, there were specific things that they had to do in order to do that. But if you seek to be sanctified, you are seeking to be separated to God. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And then he says, neither shall ye defile yourself. And then he goes on and talks about what would be a defilement to them Jews at this time for them as a people. And so we get the understanding is that if I'm going to be holy, if I'm going to be sanctified, set apart to God, separated to God, that it's going to be different than defilement. In other words, sanctification, holiness, leads me away from sin.
Yes, sir.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. I'm going to take the time to turn to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. No, I'll get to it eventually here. My land. I think somebody took it out of my Bible. Oh, there it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So you see, the opposite of holiness is uncleanness. And when God called us to be saved, when God worked in our lives to bring us to the point of salvation, he did so so that we would be holy. He didn't save us to be unclean. He didn't save us, and the common way that we hear this is he didn't save us to keep on sinning. He saved us to work godliness in our life. The one thing that we all need is holiness. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read first of all from verse 19. Paul, in talking to the Christians here in Rome, says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. This old nature, the flesh, yes, is the body that, you know, you put clothes on this morning. But also, when we think of flesh, we think of that old nature. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, that is the parts of your body, your ears, your mouth, your hands, your eyes, as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness. That's what they used to do. They used their body and the parts of it to sin, to do unclean things. And unclean there, kids, doesn't mean like not dirty, okay? It's talking about spiritually being clean, or unclean would be sinning. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so, and you see, you do one sin and then it's going to lead to another. Iniquity unto iniquity. And that's why you cannot play around with sin. You can't figure, well, I can do this a little bit. This isn't that bad. I know a lot of other Christians that do a little bit. And listen, the fact we're not following other Christians. We're following Jesus Christ. And any adult that says, well, I know other Christians that do it and they seem to be okay, that isn't any different than when your kids said, everybody else is doing it. And what did you tell your kid?
That's right.
Well, you're not going to. Or just because they jump off of a bridge, will you? Yeah. And so just because somebody else commits adultery, that make it okay for you?
No.
Just because somebody else lies, does that make it okay for you? No. Just because somebody else does drugs, does that make it okay for you? No. Why? Because the Bible tells us we are not to be unclean, but we are to be holy. Now we're still in chapter 6, verse 19. And iniquity unto iniquity, even so now. Now, since you're saved, now, as a Christian, yield your members, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands, all that is you. Yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto what? What's the word?
Holiness.
Holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Now, by salvation, you're not free from righteousness. Now you can live righteously. The problem is that old nature, that flesh, it doesn't always want to do what is right to do and what it ought to do. But holiness, and listen to me, holiness is a heart matter. Not the heart that pumps your blood, okay, but a heart matter, the inner man. the life that you have, the soul, the spirit, the inner being. Holiness is a heart matter. Now, we sang that song in the garden. He walks with me and I walk with him and we talk with each other in the cool of the evening in the garden. Now, that's not talking about going someplace and where they you can find a nice park or somebody that has their lawn beautifully landscaped. That's not talking about going to such a place and meeting with God. No, that's talking about your personal inner relationship with Jesus Christ. It's an inner relationship experience. Now, when we have holiness, when we're separated to God, okay, then that is going to make a difference in how we live. It's going to make us different. Because of the holiness that's within. And that's the way it's supposed to come about. We separate ourselves, sanctified. We separate ourselves to God. Now, let me try to illustrate. I'm going to try to verbally describe. For those that would be listening over the internet, I want to try to verbally describe this so they can picture what you here in the church are seeing with your eyes. Over here on the left of the platform, we're going to say that's where God is. And then over here on the right of the platform is where the world is. And of course, the world in this sense is the place where sin is committed. And here I am as a Christian in the middle. And if I am going to be sanctified, set apart to God, then what I must do in my living night is spiritually, I'm illustrating here on the platform. But spiritually, it isn't something you're going to physically do. Spiritually, it's going to be your relationship in your heart. First of all, you need to be saved. And when you're saved, then your relationship continues and you separate, you set yourself apart to God. Now, it can't be done physically like I'm illustrating here on the platform, but it happens when in your mind and in your inner being, you make the determination that you are going to be with God. You are going to live for God. You are going to think like God thinks. Now, here, I'm starting in the middle. Now, over here on the right is the world. Now, what happens with this visual illustration when I, in my inner being, in my mind and heart, I determine I'm going to live for God, and I set myself apart to Him, and I move over here with God. Now, what does that do regarding the world and the sin that's in it over there? It takes me away from it, doesn't it? And you see, that's what holiness will do. When you have a holiness experience, and that's not some kind of, in some groups it's called a second work of grace. In other words, you get grace to be saved, and then you'll get grace again to be sanctified. No, Bible doesn't teach that. Okay? You get grace. But you can get saved and spend way too long until you get to the point where you set yourself apart to God. So many people, they get saved simply because they want to go to heaven. They don't want to go to hell. Well, now that's not a bad motive. Jesus Christ died so we don't have to go to hell. He didn't create hell for man. He created it for the devil and his angels. So He doesn't want us to go there. But once you get saved, God wants you to be more than ready to go to heaven. He wants you to live for Him now on this earth, so you set yourself apart to him. And that takes you away from the world. Now, the problem we have in so many churches today, not just ours, okay, in so many churches all across this country, is that people think that they're going to somehow achieve godliness, holiness, by what they stop doing. I'm going to stop drinking alcohol. I'm going to stop doing drugs. I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop cheating. I'm going to stop. Okay? That isn't how you get holiness. You say, are those you saying that we don't have to stop those things? No, now you're jumping to conclusions. You ought to know better if that's the devil trying to put that thought in your mind. All of those things I named ought to be stopped. But why do some Christians have such a struggle stopping them? Because they've never separated themselves to God. They're trying to stop these things by their own strength and power. Oh, they may pray for it. But if you will separate yourself to God, if in your heart and mind you will make the determination and the commitment that you're going to live for God, and you tell God, I want to be with you, I want to please you, you told me to be holy because you're holy, and I want to be holy like you want me to be.
Yes, amen.
Now God's going to begin to work in your heart and life. First of all, in your mind, you have moved yourself to God. And that's what's going to move you away from these things over here that need to be stopped in Christian lives. Now, you know, when somebody first gets saved, they attend a Bible teaching church, they see the lifestyle of other Christians, things they don't do, things they do, like going to Bible studies, okay? Like passing out gospel tracts, like teaching Sunday school if they have an ability for that, okay? There's things they see. And so that new Christian, they want to do what's right. And so they stop going some places by way of entertainment. They don't hear people swearing, so they begin to work on their own language. Now, there's a point to which that's good, but it's not enough. Because eventually, their old nature, the flesh, is going to be stronger. And they're going to find themselves going back to some of these things. But you see, if you stay over here with God, if you give yourself to God, if you're living for God, now he's going to take you away from those things. You see? So it isn't what we stop doing that makes us holy. It's what we start doing. We're going to be with God. We're going to be set apart to God. We're going to be separated to God. We're going to live for God. And then he will begin to work in us. And what he works in us produces what? A holy life. Because it's what he said we should do and what he wants us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, the promises that he's given in previous portions of this letter, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. You have filthiness of the flesh, you have things you do with the body. But then you also have filthiness in the spirit. The things in your inner man, the desires, the lusts, the things, you see, it's what's inside that prompts the outside actions. And so a man steals because inside his thievery heart prompted him to do it. But if he's a Christian, he doesn't have to do that anymore. He can yield himself. But you see, he's got to make a determination that he's going to yield himself. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now he says, let us cleanse ourselves. You know, so many, you know, this isn't a matter of you just sit back in a chair and you say, okay, God, I'm giving myself to you. I want to live for you and I'm all in your control. And then everything begins to change. No, he says, let us cleanse ourselves. There are things that we need to do. And so there are people that an individual may have been hanging around with that give him wrong influence. You need to get different friends. There's places that you may go. Well, you know, that bar makes the best ham sandwiches. And that's what my daddy taught me, okay? Yeah, I got to go to a bar to get a good ham sandwich. Now, you had to know my daddy to understand that sort of thing, okay? But some of you knew some people like him. But bar is the best place to get a ham sandwich. Look. Your palate isn't that sensitive to food. Go get it at a restaurant and stay out of the bar. Okay? Or a guy walks to work. I love this illustration. I've used it all my life. A guy walks to work. He lives in the city, obviously, and he walks to work. And he can get to where he works two different ways. Now, this guy had a drinking problem. One way he goes takes him by three bars. And the other way he goes, we're going to really make this illustration good, takes him by three churches. Which way do you think he ought to choose? He ought to go by the churches. Let us cleanse ourselves. There's choices that we need to make. But the first choice is the one that empowers us. And that's the choice to set ourselves apart to God. Now, how that works out, it doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't come overnight. But Christ, Paul told Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not only the hope of glory to get to heaven, it is that, but the hope of glory to live for him now. If you don't have a handle on this sort of thing, then you're not living the abundant life. You're just living the beginner's life. And that's a struggle. Because it's your old nature fighting against your new nature. Your old nature fighting against the Holy Spirit that wants to lead you in godliness. And he'll do that, but you have got to make the determination that you want godliness to paragraph. Now listen, don't be afraid of it. But you just say, oh, I'm a boy, if I do that, then I'm not going to be able to do anything. And all the fun in life will be over. No, it won't. You say, well, if I do that, I'm not going to be able to. And then you may name some things that you already know you shouldn't be doing. And the issue here is that you don't want to be separated to God because you're not willing to give them up. But listen, God will take care of it if you'll let him work in you. This fellow's name was Larry. He's a real man. I mean, I knew him. When I first came to the Shingle House area, Larry came to church, he and his family, and he got saved. And he went out in visitation with me. And then after a while he said, Pastor, I can't go. Why not? And he pointed to his pocket. Well, this is my cell phone, okay? It's not fat enough to be a pack of cigarettes, but his was a pack of cigarettes. He said, I can't go in these people's houses and teach them about Jesus Christ, and I got that pack of cigarettes there. And I said, well, then leave them in the car. And of course, what he was identifying is, I can't be out telling people about Jesus when I'm not living for him now. And he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I've been trying to quit this. Since I got saved, I've been struggling. I've been trying. I've been asking God to help me. He went on and on. And you know what my advice to him was? Larry, don't worry about stopping it. You've tried and it hasn't worked. This isn't something that's going to be taken away quick. I told him, I said, don't worry about it. Now, I said, it's hard for me to say that because I know you're going to continue to smoke. But I said, what you need to do, what caused you to want to go out and witness to begin with? Well, I got saved and God worked in my heart and showed me how important it was that I would tell other people about Jesus. And I said, Larry, and here's the point. If you will strengthen yourself in the areas that God is now working, he will give you the grace and the strength to quit the areas, in his case it was cigarettes, to quit the areas that you can. Amen. 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. There are some things that God enables to go like at the snap of a finger. And there's some other things that people seem to struggle with, and I've known some to struggle for years with just that one, tobacco. But the point is, the closer we get to God, the stronger we'll get. And God will be working holiness in us. And believe me, the holiness of God is stronger than the hold of sin over our lives. And it'll happen. The old timers used to say, and I say the old timers, here I am, I'm an old timer, but I remember when I was a young timer, the older people talking about those, yeah, there are some Christians, they want to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And you can't do that. You've got to make a choice. Where do you want to plant your feet? With God? In holiness? And if you do, then he'll work in you. Now, you say, well, why doesn't he just take everything bad away all at once? Because he knows that if you're going to be conformed to the image of Christ, you have to go through some struggles. And in other words, what God knows best how to help you to change. I don't know how to. I can give you ideas of what other people have done, but God knows you, and he will help you. If you'll be patient with God, God will be patient with you. God will be patient with you. Holiness. God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And holiness of heart will lead to right conduct. We'll end up, you know, I'm all for standards. I have some standards that you wouldn't be practicing. And pastor's approach to this, of course, is you get your standards from God. And you live what God wants you to live. And listen, that's where we need to get them. He may give them through a preacher. He may give them through a Bible lesson. He may give them through an article we read in a Christian publication. Okay? But you get it from God. And your standards may be different than mine. But what is the goal? Is the goal that we all have the same set of standards? No. The goal is holiness, isn't it? Godliness. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. And it's important that we all have that.
And listen, you should not look at somebody that practices some things different than you do and think there's something deficient in their life. If there's anything deficient in their life, it would just be holiness. But when you see godliness with contentment,
then we need to remember the goal is godliness. What is our greatest need? It's holiness. We all need to be more holy. Father in heaven, would you do that for us? Would you work in us?